Last Wednesday, the country sat with mouths wide open as Democrats put on an incredible dog and pony show featuring former Trump attorney Michael Cohen as the lead pony and Lanny Davis as the snickering dog. So eager were the Democrats to get Cohen's lies on camera with their own hate-filled suppositions that they could not even wait 1 week until the president returned from his meeting with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. While the president was in Vietnam trying to get an agreement on removing nuclear weapons from North Korea, the Democrats were determined to undermine him with the American public and in the eyes of the North Korean leader. Vile comments were made about Trump, and Rashida Tlaib, the Democrat Muslim woman on the Oversight Committee, delved into a false charge of racism and got her fanny scalded by Representative Mark Meadows of North Carolina. I have little respect for Elijah Cummings, the committee chairman, but to his credit, even he recognized the nasty intended false narrative. And then Rashid Tlaib tried to back away from her hate message. To put all of this into context, we must remember that Michael Cohen lied to Congress under oath. He lost his law license, and he's headed to prison. Moreover, Cohen has now been referred to the Justice Department for lying again to Congress in this latest appearance. Cohen chose, as his lawyer before the Oversight Committee, a nasty little Democratic political operative named Lanny Davis. This man has been a long-time supporter and mouthpiece for the Clintons. That alone should dictate that Michael Cohen get an unbiased attorney to advise him. But instead, Lanny Davis, a die-hard Democrat with a history of dirty, underhanded dealings, prepped Cohen on what to say to the committee. Moreover, Davis had Cohen meet with certain Democratic members of that committee to plan how he would answer the loaded questions they would put before this very man who had previously lied to them. In other words, this was all a well-organized exercise designed to turn the public against the president. Instead, it showed the rest of the country how hate-filled those off-the-rail Democrats really have become. Michael Cohen did not supply facts to back up his lies. As Lanny Davis snickered behind him, Cohen said that Donald Trump had paid off a blackmail effort from a porn actress to keep her from revealing a consenting encounter with him. Democrats smiled in delight, but they have made no attempt to reveal the names of the congressmen who have used a slush fund of taxpayer money to pay off charges of sexual misconduct themselves. Next, Cohen said that Trump had been told that WikiLeaks was going to release emails damaging to Hillary Clinton, and that Trump had said that if they did release such a thing, it would be great. What did the Democrats think Trump should say? Golly, no! We've got to stop the release of those emails and save Hillary. Remember, at the same time, Hillary Clinton was paying Christopher Steele to put together a phony dossier against Trump and get it released. I'll get into why these Democrat political animals hate Donald Trump in a moment, but first, let me tell you why I support President Trump. I'm under no delusions about the man. You do not become a multi-billionaire businessman or woman by being meek and mild. Trump has had to deal with high-powered business people and their lawyers all of his adult life. These people sought to outmaneuver Trump and best him in business deals. They were not always on the up and up, and Trump had to learn the art of the deal. Donald Trump is a hard-nosed realist. He is not a career politician. He has not been schooled on how to deflect questions, how to tactfully deal with fools, slyly mislead, or beat around the bush. No pun intended. Therefore, Trump can be brash, even rude and crude at times. I'll readily concede all that. for Democrats to accuse Trump of lying when they tried to get Hillary Clinton, one of this country's biggest liars, elected against Trump, is laughable. All that should interest us is what Donald Trump is able to accomplish for the American people while fighting off the increasingly insane attacks from Democrats. Who he may or may not have slept with prior to the presidential election is not important to anyone except rabid Democrats. No president in the history of our republic has ever had to contend with a totally biased fake news media that is so dedicated to the destruction of their administration. Every move by President Trump has been dissected and criticized by his enemies in the mainstream media. When Trump pointed out that the mainstream media was the enemy, he was right. Those enemies ramped up their devious efforts of destruction even as they denied being the enemy. Trump was elected in great part because of his resolve to drain the Washington swamp. No rational person can claim that there is not a fetid swamp in Washington, actually a sewer, that was carefully designed by career Democrats and politicians of both sides to enrich themselves. Public service takes a back seat to their greed for power and money. To understand the hypocrisy of a desperate Democratic Party, we need only look at their flip-flop on the need for a barrier wall between the United States and Mexico to help stem the tide of illegal aliens, drug dealers, and human smugglers. The same Democrats who voted to build that wall under Democratic presidents now fight Trump's efforts to build it because he's a Republican and because he would get credit for keeping his promise. Keeping political promises is rare in Washington. Democrats claim there is no emergency at the southern border, even as caravans of illegal aliens are camped on the Mexican side, looking for ways to enter the United States, legally or illegally. More caravans are forming to march on our border. Most of those caravans are made up of people seeking a better life, but they also contain MS-13 gang members, terrorists, drug and human smugglers, rapists, and even murderers. How many of these people stacked up on our border is enough to cause Democrats to see an emergency? 10,000? 100,000? 1,000,000? Handling the demands of these people is costly for American taxpayers. The recent government shutdown cost our economy more than $11 billion. Also, Democrats could deny $5.7 billion the president requested for wall funding. In other words, the wall could have been funded almost twice for the cost of the shutdown to our economy. Is there anyone, including foaming-at-the-mouth Democrats like Nancy Pelosi, who claims that the border wall would do no good at all? While it won't stop all of the illegal crossings, there is no question that it would help. Our law enforcement on the border is unanimous in their answers as to how much help a wall would provide. Still, hypocritical Democrats follow Pelosi's lead in denying the funded needed. Trump took heat from Democrats and the mainstream media for his efforts to balance trade with other nations that have taken advantage of our country for decades. Trump fended off their criticism while reaching new trade agreements with Mexico and Canada that evens the playing field and means billions of dollars to our economy. A harder nut to crack is trade with China. That nation has taken advantage of us for decades as well. They steal our intellectual property and flood the market with knockoff goods at the cost of our companies. I've been to China and witnessed firsthand the warehouses where these knockoff goods are produced and sold. This president has done what other presidents failed to do by convincing the Chinese government that he is serious about fair trade. Talks are going on between Trump emissaries and the Chinese government. Trump is determined to even that playing field as well. But Democrats see that as a political win for Trump and continue to undermine the man. In truth, if Trump gets the concessions needed from China on trade, it is a win for the United States. Can Trump get that done? Hopefully so. But it's an uphill battle. Nevertheless, Donald Trump has gotten further down the road to a fair trade agreement with China than any president, Democrat or Republican, before him. Now, let's turn to North Korea. Their dictator, Kim Jong-un, rules brutally with an iron fist. His country is in shambles, and the average North Korean earns just $1,300 a year. There is widespread desperation and famine. Meanwhile, Kim rode to the peace talks with Trump in a $1.6 million limo. He dines on exotic foods and drinks fine wines. So why hasn't he been overthrown? Because the people in North Korea are not allowed to have guns, and Kim keeps his army well-fed to ensure their protection. If socialist Democrats have their way, Americans would see their guns stripped away as well. Donald Trump was the first U.S. president to meet face-to-face with a North Korean leader. Trump fended off Democrats and the mainstream media criticisms about his dealings with Kim Jong-un. He prefers trying to make a deal for denuclearization on the Korean Peninsula to war with North Korea. That has led him to handle Kim with kid gloves in this preliminary stage. Democratic critics don't seem to understand that taking a hard line against Kim at this early stage would be counterproductive. Call him names and the discussions are over. Saving face is paramount for Kim Jong-un. Trump has made it clear, in public and in private, that he will take any steps necessary to prevent North Korea from having nuclear weapons. That includes war, if all efforts at talking with Kim Jong-un fail. The recent talks with Kim in Vietnam did not accomplish an agreement for North Korea to do away with their nuclear arsenal. The North Korean dictator wanted President Trump to drop all economic sanctions now, before he does away with his weapons of mass destruction. That's the same old ruse that Kim's father and grandfather played on Bill Clinton. It worked then because Clinton caved in and made more concessions to North Korea. Just as he had promised the American people, President Trump said no and walked away. That does not mean that there will be no more talks. What it does mean is that this president is not falling for the lies that Kim Jong-un's father and grandfather used to rip off the West. It also means that Kim now understands that point and that he realizes this president is serious and will not be deterred from his mission to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula. With that knowledge, Kim has more of an incentive to drop his nuclear program. Having said that, what the Democrats did last week by parading Michael Cohen, a known liar and felon, in front of the TV cameras to undermine the president could easily cause Kim to stall, hoping that a new president might be more naive than Donald Trump. After all, it worked with Bill Clinton. Democrats are experts at airing dirty laundry, unless it belongs to one of their own. Let me give you reasons why Democrats hate Donald Trump. They claim he's a racist, but that's never been proven, and in fact it's been disproven. It is not racist to want strong borders for the United States. Trump doesn't hate Mexicans or any other illegal aliens. He simply values the American people and wants to ensure our safety. Liberals try to ignore the fact that Trump is friends with many famous black Americans, and some not so famous. He also has friends among Chinese, Koreans, and many others. A true racist will choose not to acknowledge any other race. Liberals hate Trump over Planned Parenthood. From the beginning, Planned Parenthood endorsed Hillary Clinton for president and her promise to continue tax money for their butcher shops. They gave money to Clinton's campaign. Donald Trump sees the value of human life. And like the rest of us, he watched in horror as the videos emerged showing that Planned Parenthood did not just kill unborn children, but harvested and sold their body parts for profit. Things have gotten worse since then. Liberal Democrats today endorse the idea of killing babies right up to the moment before they're born. No sane person can pretend that a fully formed baby, ready to come into this world at any moment, should not be protected from harm. Yet, Democrats recently voted not to protect the baby that was aborted but refused to die. Once born, they favored no protection for the child against those who would murder it. Some liberal Democrats propose that a baby can be killed even after it leaves the mother's womb with a heartbeat and breathing on its own. God creates life. What kind of people propose to kill the life God granted to these babies? Liberals hate Trump for putting America first. Liberals around the world are pulling out their hair over Make America Great Again. The red caps and people who own them with MAGA on them are increasingly coming under attack. Ask yourself, what is wrong with making America great again? Trump wishes to promote American exceptionalism and uplift the American economy without having to ask the world's permission. Liberals dismiss the America First doctrine as a bigoted and hateful belief. Obama traveled the world apologizing for the great strides that America had made in the world. Joe Biden recently traveled to Germany to proclaim that America was an embarrassment. Other Democrats have spoken against American exceptionalism. That emboldens ignorant people to assault someone for wearing a cap promoting America's greatness. Liberals also hate Trump because they say he is not their president. Donald Trump won the 2016 election fairly. Trump won over 3,000 counties in the United States. Hillary won just 300. According to the same Electoral College system that every president is elected from, Trump had 306 votes, more than the 270 needed to win. Hillary never even reached 270. And liberals especially hate Trump when he exposes the media. History shows that every president has had differences with the mainstream media, but no president has ever stood up to the media bias like Trump. Now, everyone can see the dirt under the rug that's been there for years, and that makes liberals extremely angry. Liberals will find anything to dislike about Donald Trump, including his family. The most outrageous, disrespectful, and stomach-churning statements have been said about all members of the Trump family. In some cases, calling for the rape of the First Lady, sexual abuse of Ivanka Trump, and even the murder of the president. Remember when the media was reminding us that Bill and Hillary did not want anybody to be talking about their daughter, Chelsea? Remember that? But it's not only liberal Democrats that hate Donald Trump. The Republican establishment also joined the Democrats' hate parade. They continue to be puppets for the left and a rock in the president's shoe. The election of Donald Trump to the presidency gave Republicans control of all three branches of government. The Democratic Party is a hurting party in a corner crying about a race they should have won. Yet the Republican establishment failed to carry through with measures needed to reverse the turn to the left. After all, here was a president threatening to drain the swamp in Washington, and these establishment Republicans thrive in that swamp. They helped build that swamp. They love that swamp. And they hate anybody who talks about doing away with it. Power and greed come first for the establishment politicians in both parties. The country, a distant second. Donald Trump is getting things done in America and across the world. Democrats ignore the good things Trump has accomplished, and there were many, and try to focus us on their criticisms of Trump's personality. But what options did the Democrats offer us in 2016? If you didn't want to vote for Donald Trump, who else could you vote for? Hillary Clinton, a completely immoral woman with a lifetime of lies and underhanded trickery. What options are Democrats offering us in 2020? A host of socialists who would destroy our country with their harebrained schemes like the Green New Deal. Given the options Democrats offer us, I will proudly cast my vote for Donald Trump's re-election. I don't know if you've noticed that we have now 3 Muslims in Congress. On its face, that's all right. But when you look at these Muslims and what they stand for, how they have publicly said they will not assimilate into America, and how they continue to push the Islamic doctrine, and how they feel about this country, it's not good. And yet, Democrats don't seem to have any problem with that. Nancy Pelosi has put these people on key committees so that they can speak up against this country. If you reject that, as I do, then it's time we demanded a change. Keith Ellison was elected by Democrats to be their chief mouthpiece. Ellison is a Muslim, very much anti-American, very much pro-Islam. The thing that liberals forget is that the Bible of Islam, the Quran, gives those who do not believe in Islam no chance to live. They are commanded, the Muslims, to kill you if you don't believe in what they believe, Islam. They're commanded to kill me. They're commanded to kill anyone who does not agree with the Quran and the basics of Islam. And yet, we have elected 2 Muslim women who very much endorse Islam and the Quran and put them in Congress. Democrats then picked up on them and put them out front. They took someone like a naive Ocasio-Cortez, and they're focusing her out front. She has now said she's going to make a list of any Democrat who tries to get with Republicans and reach consensus. She's going to keep a list of those people and primary them, which means when they come up for re-election, she wants the Democrats to back some other person to take them out of office. That's Ocasio-Cortez. And yet, Nancy Pelosi, the most powerful Democrat, sees nothing wrong with that. She does not speak up against that. That's why I am so unhappy with Democrats. I know that Republicans are not perfect. I have problems with Republicans as well, but not nearly as much as I do with Democrats. It's all about options. If you tell me that this Republican has done this or done this, I have to measure that against what the opposition is doing. Not because it makes it better or worse, but because I have to know which of them is the lesser evil. And thus far, it's been Democrats. We're in tough times in this country. my friends, tough times. Most people choose not to take a stand. Most people are busy trying to feed their families. They don't get involved in politics, and hence when it comes time for election, they don't know who to vote for. And they're urged to go vote. So they do. And that's why we have the people in Congress that we have today. I hope you'll join me again next week. Same time, same station. This is Tom Joyner. Have a great day.